We are going to continue on Daf Nun Aleph Amud Beis. Let me just catch you up in the sugi we're at, and we can just look at the notes right over here. We had a big, raging machlokes, Abaye and Rava. Let's refresh our memories. What if a person gives a kedushin to a woman in which after the act of kedushin, he'll be prohibited anyway to be intimate with her? Is the act of kedushin an act of kedushin or not? That was the discussion we had. And if you look in point one, it says the ruling of Abaye is kedushin in which bia is forbidden. Okay, because the kedushin itself will forbid her. It is still a kedushin. So you're going to say, what's it going to help to be a kedushin? The answer is that it'll have to give her a get afterwards. And if somebody else would live with her before he gives her the get, it would be like he lived with a married woman. So the kedushin, in which you can't be, for other reasons, the kedushin may have been nothing wrong with the act of kedushin. Here's a ring. Here's the act of kedushin, but you'll never be able to sleep with her because of aside reasons. Where we said, you know, wasn't sure who he married. It could be he married two women. And he's not sure which one. So each one is a doubt. He can't marry. Therefore, he can't have bia. There's technical reasons why he can't live with her. So is the act of kedushin an act of kedushin at all? That was the machlokas we had. So Abaye says the act of kedushin is a valid act of kedushin, even though you're not going to be able to follow it up with intimacy. And Rava argues and says it's not a kedushin. And as a matter of fact, remember, Rav Achina brought a source that would seem to support Rava from the text. He said, when a man will be makadish a woman and have bia with her, it would imply that, you know, the kedushin must permit bia. Although, I guess Abaye will learn it differently. But that was the main machlokes. And we brought a proof from our Mishnah, then we had two different ways on the Mishnah, but other proofs. We're in the middle of bringing proofs as to which opinion is correct. Question, comment, we're good? Again, the point is, the act of kedushin itself was a proper act. There was nothing wrong with the act of kedushin, but it's just the kedushin that you will never be able to be intimate with this woman. So is being able to be intimate with the woman part and parcel of saying this was an act of kedushin or not? So Abaye says there's nothing to do with it. The fact is, it was a good act of kedushin. She is prohibited to any other man. The fact you can't follow up and live with her, it's immaterial insofar as the kedushin is a valid kedushin. It's not going to help for very much, but it'll create problems. She has to get a get. If somebody else would sleep with her, she would be put to death. On the other hand, Rava says, no, if you cannot follow up with a bia, then the act of kedushin is useless. That's the machlokes.
Isn't there a difference when we did the two sisters, there was a doubt?
That's what we're talking about. Because of the doubt, you can't...
No doubt. What if it was... an act of kedushin to a sister. There's no doubt.
Well, then everybody agrees it's not an act of kedushin.
Right, okay.
Kedushin so are not chal. If you do an activity that the punishment for sleeping with the woman would be kares or death or something like that, then that's nothing. Because you can't even marry such a woman.
So then you can say that as long as there's no doubt, the act of kedushin is nothing.
Everybody agrees to that.
So,
but here,
you open up the door saying if the act of kedushin could be nothing, if you can't have a bia, then maybe you could extend that and say it is nothing in any case.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch
that. So you extend it. You say, look, we know that there are cases where the act of kedushin is nothing.
Yeah, because this woman inherently cannot be married to you. But here, there's nothing inherently wrong with the woman. There's a doubtful situation that's precluding. There's nothing wrong with the woman even. There's two women. He could have married either woman he could have married. We're just not sure which one he married. So that's a side problem doesn't let us marry. The time when everybody agrees it's not a kedushin is when the woman and the man, these two, what we know they cannot be married to each other. That if they can't, the Torah prohibits them, so how can they even have a kedushin? But here, There's two women. He could marry either woman. The problem is, we don't know which one he married, and now he can't sleep because of the doubt. That is the machlokes that we have over here. So now the Gemara is going to bring another proof. Toshma, coming here from a Mishnah that's going to be later on in the next parak. Okay, let's look carefully over here. Mi sheyesh lo shtei kitei banos b'shtei nashim. It's a man who has two wives. He has two wives. This is in the earlier days we're allowed to have two wives. Or if he is, if he believes in the Mormon persuasion. Which I saw a lot of last couple of weeks. Anyway, he's got two wives, and from both wives, he has two daughters. So he's got four daughters. Wife number one, we'll say the first woman he married, he had two daughters from them, and there, let's, for the sake of our, well, whatever, and those are all the two eldest daughters. Then he marries another woman, and has two other daughters, an older daughter and a younger daughter. So he's got four daughters. Okay, the father has the right to marry off these daughters. They're of the age from 12 and a half and below. He has the right to marry them off. Now, what does he say? Now, this Mishnah is going to have many, many cases, but we're just bringing out the first case, and this is from where we're going to ask the question. So, what does he say? What does he say like this? Well, Amar, he says to a prospective suitor, the guy says, you know, I'd like to marry one of your daughters. So he says, okay, kidashti. He tells the courts where he says, Kidashti es biti hagedola. I gave my elder daughter in Kiddushin to a certain man. Now the word elder is not clear. What does elder daughter mean? He didn't say oldest daughter. He says, biti hagedola, my elder daughter. So that's a very vague term which doesn't make it clear. And what's going not, it's not gonna help the next thing he's gonna say. He's not done talking. I'm not sure which one is the elder daughter that I was referring to. It could be the elder. Remember, you got four daughters.
Yeah.
You've got the first wife, and you've got two daughters. You've got the oldest of all four daughters, and then you got the second one that's older than the next two. Then you got the second wife. Right, he married lady one. Okay, let's say he's got daughters that are ages 12, 11, 10, and 9.
Yeah.
The first wife, he had a daughter that was 12, and then a daughter who now is 11. From the second wife, he's got a daughter that's 10, and a daughter that's 9. He says, I marry off an older daughter to a man.
Which one?
Now, what could he be referring to? Well, he could be referring to three out of four girls. Because we don't know if it's the eldest daughter of all the daughters, that could be one, or it could be Vim Gidola Shivakat, this could be eldest of the younger two, of the second wife, with the older daughter of the second wife, or since it's older, can also possibly be Im Ktana Shivakadol, this could be the younger one from the older two. Why? Because she Gidol Min HaGidolska, because she's older than the older of the younger ones. So we don't know which one of the three he did. He said, I did get a Kiddushin from this man. I took the Kiddushin and I took it for an older daughter, but I don't remember which one of the older daughters I was referring to. Now, what do we definitely have? We definitely have an act of Kiddushin. The father accepted the Kiddushin. It was a perfectly good act of Kiddushin. It was for one of the three, but we don't know which one of the three is married to this man. Now, the man would like to sleep with one of these three girls, but it's going to be a problem because he can't sleep. Well, we'll see. We're just going to say he can't sleep with any of the three girls because he could be married to the one he's not sleeping with, and he can't sleep with the sister of your wife. So what's the halacha? So the Mishnah says, Kulan Asuris, all the daughters are prohibited, the man, chutz, except for who? Miktana Shibiktanis, for the youngest of the younger, who surely was not betrothed to him. Because which one was certainly not included into the situation was the very youngest, was never Mekudeshes to him. So that's not an elder daughter. So let's take a look at the notes over here. Now what does it mean? I'm sorry. What does it mean asuris? It means, let's reframe it. Kulan asuris. Let's back up. What does it mean kulan asuris? All prohibited. And so we mean to say they're prohibited to marry other men. They can't marry, they can't marry other men. Besides, all four can't marry this man. Because we don't know who.
One of the older three should.
Well, we don't know who it is though.
Right,
so therefore, they're all sisters. So they all can't get married to him. Question is, can any of these girls get married to another man?
No, except the youngest.
So three of the girls can't get married to other men. No. Why? Because we don't know if they're married to him. Could be any one of these three could be married. And since we're in doubt, they can't marry anyone. So who could marry another man? Only what? Chutz miktanis shebiktanis. Only youngest of the youngest, because she clearly was not in the doubt. Okay? So now, let's just take a look at the note over here. The only daughter that could not be called an elder daughter is the youngest daughter of them all, the youngest of the second group. All daughters besides this then require a get from the betrother before marrying anyone else, since it can never be determined which of them became his wife.
Wow.
Alright, let's not get into middle ones with Rashi. I don't want to go there. Okay, so that is who says all this? Divrei Rebbe Meir. These are the words of Rebbe Meir. Now, the question is this, now we know they're for sure, Rebbe Meir is saying there is for sure a kiddushin to one woman, right? We just don't know who, right?
Okay.
Question is, how could we say it's for sure a kiddushin? He'll never, the man himself, who he betrothed her to, can never sleep with any of the girls. So this is a kiddushin that will never be brought to consummation. And yet, what do we say? Can these girls marry another man? No. Why is that? Because we're saying one of them is for sure married to the man. So this is now a proof to the rabbi who says that even a wedding that cannot, a kiddushin that cannot be consummated is considered a kiddushin. Because if it wasn't considered a kiddushin, then these girls could marry anybody. But no, they have to get a get. So we see that Kiddushin does not need to have Bia afterwards for it to be considered a Kiddushin. Right?
So that supports
the opinion that says that was that Abaye Rava? Let's go back over that. It was
Abaye.
Abaye says it is a Kiddushin. So it supports Abaye's opinion. Right? You see the clear proof to Abaye? He married one of them. We don't know which one. He can't live with any four of the girls because that's for sure it's a doubt. But they can't get married to anybody else. So the fact that they can't get married to anybody else means there is a kiddushin to one of them, even though it's not something to be followed up. So it's a proof to Abaye that a kiddushin that cannot be followed with B is still considered a kiddushin. Right? Good. So now, so Gemara's got to say, we got to get a way out of this. Gemara's going to come up and say, well, let's look at exactly the wording of the Mishnah, and we can say from the exact wording of the Mishnah, there's one little detail we didn't insert, which is evidently existing, that will get us out of this problem. Gemara says, Hacha b'maya skinan, we're speaking in a case. Now, what did you think the case was when it was presented? The father says, yeah, I'm married to one of the girls, and you know, I never kind of decided which one it was. Right? That's the way it seems to come. The guy gave me money, I accepted Gedusha. I said, oh, okay, you'll be married to the elder daughter, and I never knew who it was to begin with. More say that's not the case. The case is, Hacha, b'maya skinan, and here, what are we speaking about? Keshe hukru. We knew exactly which daughter he had in mind. He knew exactly which one it was. But then, ulubsof, but at the end, nisarvu. Then they got mixed up with each other. Now this is going to be a big difference over here. In other words, as opposed to what we originally thought, where the first said, I take a kiddushin for my elder daughter, and he never really had any specific daughter in mind. That's not the case. The case is, at the actual time when he took the money from the man, he had Sprintzachana in mind.
Yeah.
Let's say, at that time, the eldest of the eldest, let's say, the 12-year-old daughter, That's the one, and he knew it at the time, and it was clear in his mind at the time. But the father, you know, has a lot of things on his mind. He's a big businessman. He's got thousands of things on his mind. And in the middle of a million business transactions, he makes one more transaction. Okay, Chaim Yankel, you want to marry one of my daughters? Okay, I'll take the money for Sprint Sachana. And then he gets back into the business world. And then, and then the guy comes back a few weeks later. Okay, I gave the Kedushin, I want to marry. Now give me your daughter. So, by the way, which daughter was it? I don't remember which daughter it was. I mean, at the time I knew specifically which daughter it was, but now I don't happen to remember which daughter it was. Okay, I know you're going to wonder what kind of father is that.
But that's logic would dictate that be the oldest of the old of them.
Well, it's not logic ahin, logic here doesn't mean anything. You know, it could be other things. Could be had someone, maybe he had somebody else in mind. It doesn't always go by the oldest necessarily. So it could be sometimes the one who's the most useless for him in the house that he wants to get rid of. That can also be. So anyway, so now this is a little different. Because at the moment when the Kiddushin was happening, could the man, at the moment that the Kiddushin was given to him,
yes.
Remember that's the moment of Kiddushin. Now, the way we presented the case as a question, we thought that the guy married off one of his daughters, and he never even specified which daughter it was at the time of Kiddushin. Then, at the moment of Kiddushin, we don't even know who the man can sleep with. But here we're saying, he remembers it was a specific daughter. So when he had a specific daughter in mind, when he took the money of the Kiddushin for her, was that a Kiddushin that could have been followed up with a Bia that day?
That day, yes. Absolutely.
Yes. Absolutely. So the act of Kiddushin, because there was a specific girl of mine, was a perfectly good act of Kiddushin that could have been followed with a Bia. The problem now is subsequent to the act of Kiddushin, now there happens to be a new problem where we forgot who it was. That's not a case of a Kiddushin that at the time of the Kiddushin, you cannot have cohabitation. Our whole Shaila was, at the time of the Kiddushin, such as the guy marries one of two daughters, he doesn't know which one it is at the time he married her. That act of Kiddushin is immediately shrouded in doubt and cannot be followed by Kiddushin even the next minute.
That's right.
But here we're speaking at the time of the Kiddushin, it was clear who it was. It could be followed up immediately with a cohabitation. So you cannot say that that act of Kiddushin had any problems to begin with. Now, 2 weeks later, the guy now would like to pick up his wife. Now the guy forgot. So now this ready after a perfectly good act of Kiddushin that had no problems to it. That already is a whole different question that everybody would agree, even Abaye would agree, that such a Kiddushin was a good Kiddushin because it was never a doubt in the beginning. You hear the difference. And now the Gemara is going to say, and I'm going to prove to you that that has to be the case. And don't say I'm just pushing in a difficult interpretation, but you have to say that is exactly the case. How do we know that's exactly the case? Because look at the wording of the Mishnah now. The Gemara follows up with a proof. Deikanami. This can also be inferred from the precise wording of the Mishnah. Let's go back to the words of the Mishnah and see what the Mishnah exactly said. Diktani, the Mishnah said, Eini yodeya, I do not know. He's saying, 2 weeks later, I married off my older daughter, and I do not know. Now, I do not know is present tense. I do not know now which daughter. Now, what other wording could have been used, which would have then suggested that that was from the very beginning? But veloktani, it didn't say, Ein yadua, it's not known which daughter he married. In other words, if it would have said it's not known, it meant from the very beginning he didn't know it was. He just goes to the best and says, listen, I married off an older daughter and I don't know now who it is. Which implies you did know at an earlier day. If it would have been a problem from the beginning, the wording should have said, Ve'ein yadua, it is not known, meaning it was never known because the father never decided which one it was. Therefore, this case has nothing to do with this. Shma Mina. We can thus infer from this Mishnah that this is the interpretation of the Mishnah, and there's no proof to our Shiloh. Because the Mishnah now is clearly speaking in case of what? Where the father, at the time of the marriage, knew exactly which daughter it was. The Kedushin was 100% good Kedushin, because it could have been followed up immediately with a Bia. The problem is, things just got delayed. As time passed, he forgot which one it was. Now that's a brand new problem post the good Kiddushin. It has nothing to do with our Shiloh of Abaye and Rav. Morris says, okay, that's very nice. But if you're going to tell me this, now Morris got one more question. You're going to tell me that's what the Mishnah is saying? Is that what the Mishnah is saying? So if that's what the Mishnah is saying, because now there's no questions from the Mishnah, Morris now follows up with one more question. If that's the case, that's the exact case, so my lememra, what's the insight the Mishnah is teaching us? What, if I would have asked you this question, I don't need a big rabbi, the Mishnais, to tell me what the halacha is. Any one of you could have told me this halacha. If I would have gone to all of you and I said, listen, I'm going to tell you the following. Mishnais tell us things we wouldn't know otherwise. Remember, Mishnais are here to teach us laws that I wouldn't know. It's not going to teach something I do know. So if I would tell you, a man for sure married off one of his daughters to a man with 100% perfect kedushin, and now he doesn't remember which one it is, what's the law? Can these daughters marry off another man? You'd say no, because we don't know which one was in. So it's a simple case of suffix. Now, if it was the way we originally posed it as a question on Abaye, then that's a great insight. To say that a kedushin that you can't follow up with B is considered a kedushin, now that's a great insight.
Right.
But here we're speaking where it was a perfectly valid kedushin that could have been followed up with a bia. Now there's a doubt that came out 2 weeks later. Well, then obviously a doubtful situation. These girls can't marry another man. So what's the insight? Why do I need a mission to teach me a law? That's so obvious. In other words, your answer, if you're telling me that's the case, then what did the mission have to teach me such an obvious case? There's no need to learn this. Look at point 30. If the father specified the betrothed daughter by name at the time of Kiddushin, then the betrothal indeed allowed for cohabitation at that time, and it's obvious that it's valid, there'd be no need then for the Mishnah to teach that the other sister required get if the father forgot which one could betroth, for this is a seemingly self-evident law. So according to this answer and the way you want to interpret it, there is no insight to be learned from here. So that would suggest maybe that's not the pshat in the Mishnah. We should go back to the way we thought it was in the question. Because then that would teach us an insight that a kedushin that can't be followed up with bia is still considered kedushin. That's an insight. But the way you're learning it, there's no insight at all. It obviously was a good kedushin. Obviously the three girls are in doubt. They can't marry another man. So why do I need a Mishnah to teach me that? Gemara's going to answer, La'afuke midrabi Yosi. Because we're going, this Mishnah is coming with the intention to exclude an opinion of Rabbi Yosi. What does that mean? Well, we're going to see Rabbi Yosi gives an opinion that this Mishnah will be coming to exclude. Well, you don't know Rabbi Yossi's opinions. We'll have to first tell you Rabbi Yossi's opinion, and we'll see what's being excluded over here. What does Rabbi Yosi say? Rabbi Yosi says, Lo mochis inish nafshe lesveka. A person will not place himself in a position of uncertainty. Okay? In other words, a man will not, it's sort of what Shell, was it Shelley? I don't remember, or Tony. A person won't allow to put himself in such a place of uncertainty. We can assume that the father wanted to make things clear. In other words, when in doubt, we say a person would never ever put himself in such a situation that would ever leave a case of uncertainty where he could possibly put his daughters in such a terrible situation to begin with. And therefore, the assumption is going to be that he gave the eldest to the eldest. That's Rabbi Yossi says we have a rule of thumb.
So that's that the logic you said, no,
in other words, that to which you, who said that? You asked it, right? So that's Rabbi Yossi's opinion. You were saying Rabbi Yossi's opinion. Okay? So what do you mean? He probably wanted to give the oldest to the oldest. Right. And why would he do it in any way to create problem? People want to minimize problems in their lives.
Right.
What's the simplest way to avoid problems? Right. He meant the eldest to the eldest.
One, that's it.
Okay. Let's see what he has to say. Rav Yossi's view is cited in a later Mishnah after Rav Meir's position recorded. The Mishnah cites Rav Meir. This was our Mishnah. Rav Yossi is a couple Mishnahs later. There Rav Yossi asserts that if the father remembers that he referred to the betrothed girl as his elder daughter, he just says, I remember I married an elder daughter, then it must be that the betrothed girl is the eldest of them all.
Exactly.
That's what he's saying. Rav Yossi's position is based on the idea that if the father had applied the term elder to anyone but his eldest daughter, he would be leaving himself open to a possible uncertainty in the future. So he would never put himself in a position where he could be creating doubts. If the identity of the betrothed daughter should ever be forgotten, he'd be left without a way of re-identifying her. We can assume that a person would not wish to leave himself open to such an uncertainty, and therefore, when the father used the term elder, we presume he was using the term precisely as a way of referring to his very eldest daughter. So in this case, Rav Yossi, in this case, that the Mishnah brings Rav Meir, would disagree with Rav Meir. In other words, this Mishnah, the way we're learning it now, Rav Meir says, listen, I remember when I married off my daughter, I remember exactly which daughter it was. And I remember she was an elder daughter. And at the time, I knew exactly who it was. And now he's coming saying, I remember she was my elder, but I don't remember now who it is now. So we say what? We say what? It was a valid kiddush. And we don't know which one he's married to. Rav Yossi would argue on this, says, no. If a person you remember she was an elder daughter, nobody would ever, if you're doing such a wording, you'd know, you would initially do it in a way where you wouldn't have any doubts to begin with. Now that you're telling the elder, you must mean the eldest of all the daughters. You would never have put yourself into such a compromised position. And therefore, Rav Yossi would argue on this, to which us seems so self-evident. What do you mean such an obvious thought? It's not so obvious. Rav Yossi is saying that when a father is saying, I remember, and he says the eldest, he wouldn't remember in a way that creates doubt, but he would have established in a way that means what she actually was without creating doubts. A person will never put himself in a position to create doubts. So if he remembers that he referred to the betrothed girl as the elder daughter, it must mean he meant the eldest. That's what he owns. Right? He's like Shaul saying, well, of course he would have picked the oldest to avoid all problems. Rav Meir is saying, no, not everybody is so clever. People don't think so much. Rav Yossi is assuming people think things through very clearly that they're going to avoid problems down the line. Rav Meir says, you know, people don't think so much. They're not going to figure out what's going to happen 3 weeks and I might not remember which one it was, so let me make it clear to begin with. Rav Yossi is saying, you know, it could be a few weeks, so I could forget. So you know what? I'm using let me make it clear that no matter what, we'll have it clear later on. Rav Meir is saying, you know, not everybody thinks so much in the beginning. And he could have not necessarily meant the eldest of the eldest. And therefore, it remains a doubt. Therefore, there is an insight. So even though Rav Yossi would say the guy clearly meant the eldest of the eldest, comes this law with Rav Meir, Kamash Malon, Rav Meir says no, that a person will place himself in a position of uncertainty. That is, he informs us that a man might have betrothed any daughters except for the youngest of them all. And that's the difference that's coming out over there. So that was the case. So now we've no proof from this Mishnah. We have to move on to another case, which will continue tomorrow, Mirza Shem.